Thank you, Cheryl. Hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday. I like to start with a song, and this is the one that's been playing in my head for several days upon awakening. Actually, the Foreigner version's been playing in my head, but I think I want to play Mariah Carey. I want to know what love is. Here it goes.
Gotta take a little time, a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm colder.
Sweet version. Kind of rambunctious there at the end. And now let me offer a prayer, and my prayer is that the thought that came in my mind is my prayer is that I can be truly helpful. I want to express my gratitude for the journey. And I want to be sure and get out of the way so that truth can be seen. So, amen. And as you guys may be aware, Tom is here visiting me. And Tom likes really, really cold soda. And I just heard the alarm go off telling me that his soda in the freezer needs to be taken out. So I'm going to take 1 second and do that so we don't have a real mess. I'll be right back. Sorry about that. yeah, we were talking the other day when we were at Hoffmeister's place, staying in the bunkhouse in the winter. He put sodas in the snow, like on the roof outside the bunkhouse room, and they exploded, and he got in lots of trouble. He likes his cold soda. No ice, yeah, he drinks it right out of the bottle. He's a funny character. Right now, I'm watching him. He's out in the backyard mowing the grass that I got into. So, yeah. So, guess I'll start by saying I used to say this a lot. it feels like I got a lot going on, and I'm the only one in the world that does, right? And I guess I want to start with that because I feel a little distracted. I received the foreclosure notice, the complaint in the mail earlier this week. I guess I got it on Monday. I knew it was coming. I saw it, you know. Anyway, so I've been in discussions with a lawyer. I've had a call with the lawyer the last 3 days, you know, and I'm just trying to figure out where we go from here and how things get arranged. So that seems to be in the forefront of my mind. A couple nights ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and, you know, it's like, oh, this has got to be done before that can be done, before that can be done, and how does that get done, and how is that looked on by the courts, and blah, 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 blah. the thinking mind just throwing up lots of scenarios, lots of stories. This could happen, this could happen, this could happen. And the same mind, the same voice saying, well, you could do this and this and this. Why don't you go on Google and look up this and this and this and that? You know, so I'm up 2-3 hours in the middle of the night. And like after an hour and a half, 2 hours, I went, oh, I don't have to sit here and roll in this. You know, and it's not very helpful anyway in the middle of the night, frankly. I mean, you know, my legal mind is not at its best at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, that it's more worry. It's more the mind saying, you need to worry about this, and here, let me help you fix it. And so it was a couple of hours before I remembered to go, oh, what would you have me do? Holy Spirit, inner wisdom, Father, how would you have me see this? And frankly, when I asked, what would you have me do? I was sitting out in the garage, because it's very windy, sitting out in the garage, looking out, and it was like, let's just be, you know, just let it go, loosen your grip. Or as Dean Slider said, let go at the impact. Well, I had an impactful moment for a couple of hours before I remembered to do that. And that was frankly just really, really sweet. It's just like, oh, you know, the wind's still blowing. Look at those trees. Look at them bend in concert with the wind. You know, it's just like life is. Regina was talking about that on her walk the other day. You know, it's just that recognition, that taking the opportunity to just be in the moment without projecting myself somewhere else in these stories. So And as you know, I spoke on Sunday about, you know, asking the question, how would you have me be now? How would you have me see this? What would you have me do? And I heard Kathy talking about that. Ask, 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 ask. So I think that's really good advice. Yeah, Tom will want that cold soda after he mows the grass. I tell you what, he's been out there a long time. He's got like 2 strips mowed. yeah. So I guess I'm just gonna I guess I'm just gonna read from my journal and see where that takes us. Yeah, Tom arrived on Saturday, and again, it's just a visit. I don't know how long he'll stay. It won't be too long, so that has seemed to take up some of my attention as well. I'm telling y'all why I don't have more journal entries. Not that you care, but but at any rate, so this one I'm going to read to you is from last week. And I read this in Gentle Healing, not yesterday, but the week before. But I think it deserves revisiting. From the Thought of Awakening, I think this was August the 16th. From the Thought of Awakening, the lines that jumped out at me. I'll read those to you. But before I do, what busy mind me? Before I do, I guess I feel like making a confession, and that is that I don't feel like I have a lot to share. That's what I'm really trying to say. I just wanted to say that out loud. That's been said. Now let's see if it's true. All right. So the words that jumped out at me from the Thought of Awakening on August the 16th were, "It matters where the mind dwells. Obedience is merely the retraining of the mind to listen." Thanks, Karen. Karen says the ego may not have much to share, but you do. Yeah, sweet. It matters where the mind dwells. Obedience is merely the retraining of the mind to listen. So I asked, what would you have me do to become more obedient? And the response, let go of the idea of hopelessness. You see it there, and you believe it is you. By believing in it, you reinforce its premises. There is need for neither hope nor hopelessness. Allow what is to be. Obedience is not needing anything to show up in any particular way. Hopelessness says there is a way things need to be, and there is little to no chance that they will be that way. And as I'm reading this, I'm seeing in this, frankly, it really threw me when I said, tell me about obedience, started talking about a hopelessness, and we, Inner Wisdom and I addressed that later, but when I'm reading it now, what I'm seeing is the I am bad thought. You know, you're irredeemable. No matter what you do, your circumstances aren't going to get any better. You know, it's a lost cause. Give it up, girly. You know, that's what I see when I read this today. That was the story that was being told in my mind. Um, Yeah, Kathy started to write something, but and maybe she finished, but oh, not the girly I know. Sweet. Okay, so hopelessness says there's a way things need to be, and there's little to no chance that they will be that way. When you participate in this belief, you are not focused on now. You are focused on the illusion of a future now. This is what A Course in Miracles means when it says, when you think you are thinking, your mind is really blank. Ask me what you are to do, what you are to think, and how you are to be. Your script continues to run without your awareness. See where you are following your script. Yeah, and it's talking about this script that I create with these stories, right? This, yeah. Once seen, see where you are following your script. Once seen, it can be let go for the experience of the present moment. When you find your mind telling stories, any story, all caps, any story, remember that you are choosing not to be. Remember that you are completely caught up in mind, in a state that does not exist. And you know, Regina was talking last night in Gentle Healing about, you know, responding to the question of why do different teachers give different answers, even seeming conflicting answers. It's, you know, because they're instructing their students from, you know, where their students are at. But she was talking about how at one time what was most helpful for us was to practice discerning between thoughts. And that at some point, while that's a helpful practice, at some point you recognize that all thought is meaningless, and that the thoughts don't need to be discerned between. And I was thinking when I was sitting there listening to her last night that this is, it seemed to me that that's what A Course in Miracles said when it was talking about, you know, there will be a period of sorting, you know, of determining what's valuable and what's not valuable. And then it talks about, even that's let go once you learn to discern the valuable from the valueless. And I think that that section of A Course in Miracles was saying exactly what Regina was saying last night. You know, this whole discernment thing is so you can see, you know, what you're feeding yourself. And you can see that you have the choice not to feed yourself that anymore. But once you recognize that the thoughts of the mind, the thoughts of the thinking mind that would tell you what's, you know, what you need to do and how you need to be, that at some point you go, oh, none of these thoughts are valuable. None of these thoughts tell me how to be. And you know, and then that's the entree to surrender, the invitation to surrender, the opportunity to surrender. So, so that became, as I said it on Sunday, that became really obvious to me that that's where. That's where it's at. That's where I am. I do see the meaninglessness of these thoughts. Now that doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, calling the lawyer and going, well, should I do this first or that first? Because, you know, even that in itself is meaningless, right? It's like it's going to work out. Everything works out in the end, as Mr. Nobody said. Everything works out in the end, even badly. So, you know, there's certainly tasks to be completed. But to see those as meaningful in any way would be the mistake. It's the attachment to, even the attachment to getting it right? I mean, you do the best you can with the information and the tools that you have in front of you. But the question, how am I to be now, transcends, should I do this legally before I do that legally? It transcends the that whole arena of thought. How am I to be now? Maybe I'm supposed to put this down for 2 hours, or a day, or a week, or a month, or a second. Again, it's like we've been talking about. It's that willingness to give up control, that willingness to turn and say, I recognize that these are stories. I recognize that my beingness is beyond anything that seems to be happening. So let me read. I'm just going to read on. August the 17th. Wow, that's been a long time. That's 12 days ago. But August the 17th. I said, on reflection of yesterday's message, I am not clear how we jumped from obedience to hopelessness. I was not aware of feeling hopeless. Yeah, and I wasn't. I was, hunky dory. Everything's great, right? I mean, certainly before this newest little blip showed up on the radar. So I was shocked to hear this jump from obedience to hopelessness. But I will say that later, I don't know, maybe the next day after this was written, when I settled in, when I got quiet, I could see that feeling. I could feel the feeling, of course, but I hadn't. I think that I don't know where it was before. I don't know why I couldn't see it. But I could actually, had a visceral feeling of, oh, I do see that hopelessness there, huh? So I said, on reflection of yesterday's message, I'm not clear how we jumped from obedience to hopelessness. I was not aware of feeling hopeless. Can you help me see what I should see in this description? And the answer, you are aware of your anxiety. In this sense, hopelessness is much like faithlessness. It is a negative reaction to your imagined state of being. You imagine yourself subject to forces that are beyond your control. This premise is the one that must be looked at. The you that you are is not subject to those circumstances and events that you fear. Any servitude to external events is self-imposed. Any servitude to external events is self-imposed. Therefore, any fear generated by your imagined servitude is self-generated. Let us be clear that you need not understand the exact way in which your thoughts affect your experience. You need only be aware that the thoughts you choose to accept and believe do have effect on experience. Therefore, when you find yourself lamenting any turn of events, know that the lament only adds to the conflict and pain generated by the self that dreams is lacking in some way. Rest. Ask me to help you sit with the experience of emotion when it arises. And it's funny, that's I'm finding that harder to do than it sounds like it might be. Because when these extreme emotions, like, oh my God, what do I do now? when this extreme fear or anxiety arises, it's just like, now how do I be with this again? how do I do this? Anne mentioned in her teaching, and she mentioned in our when she and I joined this morning around the lesson, she pointed out that I guess it was the reading, 1 Thessalonians, I guess chapter 3, but anyway, that it said, let me, something like, let me choose what you're to do, or let me control. And she said, you should read that again, because the emphasis is on me, with a capital M, meaning inner one, right? Just turn it over. It's just, again, it's just turning in that direction. It's like realizing that there, I don't have to build the stories up and then solve them. There's nothing to be solved. It's just turning in the direction of surrender and obedience and peace. Peace. Turning in the direction of peace. So again, it says, rest. Ask me to help you sit with the experience of emotion when it arises. And again, inherent in that is not like going, well, I'm okay. I don't feel anxious or fearful or whatever, confused. That's not it. Nor is it, serenity now, serenity now, I'm not a body, I'm free, I'm still as God created me. It's not a matter of, which is still denial. It's not a matter of trying to cover up what I'm feeling. It's a matter of going, this is, sorry, calendar just threw me out. thanks, Regina. I love the way you say peace. The word suits you. Thanks. It's really learning to be with what is. It's really learning to quit denying, to quit trying to fix, to quit covering up, and just be with what is. And with what is that I do seem to be experiencing this particular emotion at this particular time. So just be with that. Rest and ask me to help you sit with the experience of emotion when it arises. Know that merely because you find the emotion present, you need not believe it. You need not accept it as yours. Give your thoughts and emotions to me when they arise and lay no claim to or give credence to them. Which again is really interesting. I mean, I think that I need practice with this. That's what I think. But it seems similar to what, I've talked about before, what Fred Davis was talking with me about when he said, thoughts are like, they're just there. So we've certainly heard Regina talk about it before, but they're just there. They're like, the steam that rises off a wet sidewalk on a sunny day. They just rise up. You don't have to grab them and go, oh, yeah, that's my thought. And I think that the same lesson is being taught here. With regard to emotion, I just find it present. I don't need to explain it. I don't need to deny it. I don't need to reject it. I just need to be. Again, I think that it might merit some refinement and certainly some practice. Clear that denial is not the way to go. Let me read on. Please, I said, please help me understand this paragraph from today's reading. By being obedient to the thought that seems to be independent thought or thinking, you create the illusion of independence. Yet because this idea is shared, it is an illusion. In the creation of this illusion, you also find the creation of all pain. And we wrote, what is independent thought? There is no such thing as independent thought. It is the belief that there is a you, excuse me, a you and a me, a him and a her. As A Course in Miracles told us, there are not private thoughts. Every thought you give attention to is shared within the one mind. Thus, to give believing attention to the thought, I am independent, is to foster the illusion that you could be separate from anyone or anything. To let go of the belief in independent thought is to deny the denial of the truth that all is one. Because the thought, I am independent, is shared in the one mind, it creates experience consistent with its nature. In other words, belief in illusion is strengthened in the mind by the investment of belief in it. This is actually a loop or a pretty good joke, because if you were truly independent, your belief in independence would not be shared with other supposedly independent thinkers. However, because there is one mind, the belief in any illusion is shared and strengthened in the one mind, even the belief that there is not one mind in which all is shared. That's pretty convoluted, but I got the joke when I read it. So, further, because the belief in independence or separation is the source of all conflict and all pain, to continue the investment in this illusion is to continue to ask for conflict and pain. All right, so I'm just going to move on to the next entry here. August the 18th. I see myself participate in distraction rather than immerse myself in being. Please help me to see how to let go of distraction in pursuit of the truth. And the answer? You need merely ask me what you are to do at any given time in order to learn what makes you happy. You can see your resistance to the belief that obedience will lead to happiness. But you know that the desire not to follow my lead leads to discontent at the very least. I promise you that if you make a sincere effort to listen and follow, I will not fail to lead. It is in the doing that you will learn the value of turning to me to make your decisions for you. If you hear what you are to do, do it. This faithful following will strengthen your ability to hear. Better yet, ask and listen closely. There is never a time when I do not answer. Your fear tells you that I am not real, or that you are not worthy of hearing and following my instruction. This simply is not true. Your part is to do your best at all times to discern between the voice for love and the voice of fear. As these very words indicate, those voices are not difficult to tell apart. Let go your habits and your desires. These are not you. These tell you they are you in order to make you blind and deaf to your instruction. Whenever you are willing to lift up your eyes, I am here. That's simple. But clear and just what the doctor ordered. Really, just I feel that there is a greater willingness now than at any time previously for me to surrender. And so I really appreciate this thing that this instruction. One of the things that you have to do is like the belief that, I won't be here. I won't lead you. You can't hear. You're gonna mess it up, right? You can just let go of all that. All that's being asked of me is that I ask, that I turn in that direction, that I ask and listen, just like the message Kathy was sharing earlier. Thank you, Kathy. Your part is to do your best at all times to discern between the voice for love and the voice of fear, which isn't hard to do. All right, I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on to August the 20th. And here is the thought of awakening. When you ask for that day, when you ask the heart with no personal attachment to the answer and with a desire only to do what the heart would guide you to do, a clear answer can be given because no other desire blocks the answer you most want to hear. And I asked, what would you say to me about listening to the heart? And the answer. Your desires are experienced by you as fear. You are afraid that what you want to happen won't. Because your fear seems to need tending to, your desires create a great distraction. You have asked, isn't it okay to have preferences? The difference between a preference and a strong desire is the fear attached to the latter. You must ask what you truly want. That question is answered by sitting in silence with me. You know the answer immediately. However, resting with that answer in silence helps you to remember your choice in times when your desires argue strongly for something else. In other words, in times of fear. Yeah, kitty cat. You must ask what you truly want. Obviously, you know the answer to that. I know what I truly want. I want the truth. But by asking the question, what I'm told here, by asking the question and sitting with the answer in these times in the middle of the night when I wake up thinking I got some legal problem that needs to be resolved, it's easier to recollect in those times. If the answer to that question is something that I'm familiar with, if there's no question about my answer to that question, then all I have to do is remember to turn in that direction. Hey, kitty cat. You must ask what you truly want. That question is answered by sitting in silence with me. You know the answer immediately. However, resting with that answer in silence helps you to remember your choice in times when your desires argue strongly for something else. In other words, in times of fear. What you are has nothing to fear. This is the assurance you find when you remember to rest in the resting place that is you. Continue to ask what you are to do based on your desire to know the truth. You need not attach fear to this desire. Fear that you will not achieve the object of your desire, in other words, that you will not be heard and that I will not answer, need not be. This desire, being your one true desire, cannot be rebuked. The belief that desire begets fear will be undone as you place your faith in your desire and not in its absence. Wow, just a really interesting, deconstruction of what I think the word desire means. And I like that this desire, the desire to know the truth, being your one true desire, cannot be rebuked. And I'm like, that's a very interesting word. Let's look that up. And I didn't put down the definition here, but it's like, you know, you can't be fussed at for having that desire. You can't be punished for having that desire. So I guess I can see how I've attached the I am bad thought to that concept of desire. But it's really turn away from all that you've considered as desire before and turn to your true desire. Now I feel like I'm just like locked in a loop here, and I'm not conveying what I want to convey. So I'm going to let that go. And I'm going to read that last sentence of that contemplation again. The belief that desire begets fear will be undone as you place your faith in desire and not in its absence. So, you know, with the, on the one hand, I'm asking to hear, traditionally has come on the heels of that, I think, not always, but what has come on the heels of that is the fear that I can't hear, the fear that I'm making it all up is part of that as well, you know, that the truth isn't true. And none of that need be. So, then I wrote about the commentary on gratitude. I said, well, let me read it. What you are, this is a commentary on gratitude. What you are is formless. When you look about yourself, as you experience yourself now, you see form and you say, that is not me. When you look at yourself, as you experience yourself now, you see form and you say, that is me. But in both cases, you are in error. Because what you are is formless. So you cannot be identified by what you see in form. Gratitude, like you, is formless. It cannot be touched, but it can extend. Gratitude takes that which already is and moves it into new existence and new means of expression and experience. Gratitude takes that which already is and moves it into new existence and new means of expression and experience. In this way, too, gratitude is like you. To understand what you are, you must drop understanding. But to get a glimpse, look at gratitude. Gratitude is a formless force that is much like you. And gratitude works through love because gratitude works through you. And I said, I find the commentary on gratitude confusing. What would you say to me about gratitude? The answer, You need not understand gratitude. You need merely practice it. You do not practice it by creating it. You practice it by finding it. If you seek for gratitude, you will find it. Gratitude is a doorway to the truth of your being. It is a feeling that is familiar to you, and thus, you know it when you find it. You will find that it is not associated with things in form. It is beyond the form. It is formless, yet tangible, identifiable. Gratitude is helpful because when you recognize it, you may be sure that you are communing with you. You are in your right mind. Gratitude is the result of recognizing that nothing need be different. Look for gratitude. Do not seek to understand it. Simply be with gratitude when you find it. Blessings. Cheryl saying,
hi, Grace.
To the kitty cat. She's standing on my journal here, but not on the words I'm trying to read, so that's fine. and it's true that I'm familiar with this gratitude, this all-encompassing gratitude that goes beyond, you know, hey, that's really cool. For me, for quite some time now, when, you know, the words kind of rip this up, even the thought, the concept itself up, but when I have a successful meditation, right, when I'm not just sitting there thinking with my eyes closed, is what I mean when I say that. When I drop behind the thoughts or below the thoughts or transcend the thoughts, the feeling is gratitude. And so there's no question that I recognize gratitude. There's no question. I know clearly what gratitude feels like. So according to the instructions from Inner Wisdom, my job is to find it, which is, you know, kind of funny. It strikes me as kind of funny right now because it's like it's just saying the same thing that's being said that I've been being told over and over again. It's like be in the stillness, be in the gratitude. Be in the heart and live from there. Again, gratitude is helpful because when you recognize it, you may be sure that you are communing with you. And of course, you know, capital YU, capital S self, right? Gratitude is helpful because when you recognize it, you may be sure that you are communing with you. You are in your right mind. Gratitude is the result of recognizing that nothing need be different. Look for your gratitude. Do not seek to understand it. Simply be with gratitude when you find it. And then let me read you this this final journal entry I have here from a couple days ago, August the 27th. When I awoke this morning, I immediately began to worry. What would you have me see about this recurring feeling I have upon waking? And the answer, thank you for looking. Thank you for trusting. Oh God, I didn't know it said this. I'm going to have a hard time saying this word out loud. Thank you for looking. Thank you for trusting. When you look closely, you see that the feeling is identity with being a loser. I'm like, what? Um, When you look closely, you see that the feeling is identity with being a loser. This identity tells you that you are bad, and doom is reward. Can you see that this is simply an identity that you put on in the morning, much as you put on your clothing? Can you begin to see that this is choice, merely habit? You believe that the only way to deny what this identity tells you you are is to repress it, to pretend you haven't seen it. I tell you that the only way to be rid of this identity is to look at the creative process squarely and unflinchingly. This is the identity you cling to. This is the identity you wear as a habit. Which is pretty funny. That seems to me to be a play of words here, right? Because I put it on as a habit, wake up in the morning. And then, of course, you know, who wears habits? Nuns, right? Nuns wear a habit. They put this on as a symbol of what they're devoted to. You know, I don't want to say this out loud. I don't want to have this recorded for posterity, but there it is. This identification with being a loser. Yuck, right? Putrid yuck, as Kathy said a while ago. Again, you believe that the only way to deny what this identity tells you you are is to repress it, to pretend you haven't seen it. I tell you that the only way to be rid of this identity is to look at the creative process squarely and unflinchingly. This is the identity you cling to. This is the identity you wear as a habit. Be aware that you create your experience by donning this habit, and that you are free to make another choice. Just see it. Do not try to repress it or make it go away. Just be aware of the creative process that you are. And that's really sweet. You know, I'm grateful, like we were talking about last night in Gentle Healing, you know, praise your mistakes. I'm grateful to see the mistaken way that I've been using the creative process. And so what I wanted to is I want to rush in and deny it. You know, at least it's out in the open now. At least it's visible. But I want to rush in and deny it. I want to rush in and fix it. Oh, how do I get rid of that? But what I'm asked to do is just see it. Do not try to repress it or make it go away. Just be aware of the creative process that you are. I am grateful. I'm grateful that I'm grateful that I'm beginning to see. Look at the creative process squarely and unflinchingly. So that's all I can do. And ask, right? Look and ask. How would you have me see this? How would you have me be? With this. So I am grateful to you guys. I'm grateful to be in your presence. And I'm grateful to be in your presence, whether you guys are speaking, whether I'm speaking, whether Regina's speaking, because truth speaks through us all, and I'm so grateful. I love you all, and I will see you soon. Okay, bye.
Show me.